Glory to God. When Senator John McCain was in the Hanoi Hilton, that wasn't a hotel where he took a vacation. This was one of the most notorious prisoner of war prisons in the North Vietnamese Army headquarters. And he was tortured, and he was incarcerated, and he lived with the threat of being killed every single waking day that he spent in that prison. And while in that prison, the guards were merciless. He was shot down. He was captured behind enemy lines and with other prisoners. One thing that John McCain and others had in common is that they all begin to look to scripture verses they had learned, some of them in Sunday school, some of them had followed through in their life. But the scripture that gave hope became vitally important to those facing the possibility of dying and knowing that America could not come and get them, step in and help them. There was no deliverer but God. There was no savior but Christ. Amen. And their lives had to be put in his hands. And they worked out a way of using codes, Morse code in particular, that they had all learned at that time during the Vietnam era, particularly those pilots. And they would tap on the walls, those that were separated from one another. And they would tap out a scripture. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. And maybe they didn't remember the rest, but the guy in the other cell did remember the rest, and he would tap it back and said, through those times of torture and through those times of that uncertainty and almost a certainty that they would be killed rather than released, their strength came as they turned to God and to the Word of God. And some of the scriptures they had learned in Sunday school and not paid much attention to after they got out in their life, suddenly God brought them back to their remembrance, and it gave them courage and it gave them strength to endure what they had to endure. Now we're talking about Memorial Day, and the Bible is full of memorials. The Feast of Tabernacles was a memorial thing. It's all about remembering. Amen. Out front, we've got a little stone out there. The first sermon I preached when we came to this place from Sulphur Springs was when Israel had been delivered, and they wanted to remember that, and they put stones as a memorial and said, from this time forward, when someone sees this stack of stones and they say, what does this mean? We will rehearse to them, and we will rehearse to their children. Amen. To our children, amen, exactly what the Lord has done for us. Can you say amen? Passover is a memorial. And they talk about the kids. You're going through the Passover, the Seder, that meal that celebrates the deliverance from Egypt. Oh, it's the box. I thought it was for my slobber. But the box has stones on it. Amen. I thought this was, because y'all watch me pretty close around here, and when I get to going, I get a little frothy sometimes. Amen. But these are stones here. You go by a Jewish cemetery where a lot of Jewish people are buried. Particularly the traditional Jews, they're going to put a stone on top of the gravestone. Amen. It's a memorial. It's a way of remembering. Amen. By the way, God's going to remember you throughout all eternity, because when you get to heaven, he's going to give you a white stone. Can you say amen with a new name written? Hey, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, you know something? I got to quit looking. I can't keep looking. Amen. I discerned this when I walked in this morning. I said, Lord, we've got a big job here today. Amen. Just to keep people focused on Jesus and to get a little bit of joy, some substance of peace, some help in God, some hope in God today. Can you say, man, you're not going to get it by just pondering all the things that you perceive is wrong, but thanking God for what you know is right. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's some right things going on today, not just a bunch of wrong things. Amen. And the world is in a pickle, but God, amen, is moving in this old fallen world by his Holy Spirit. So they call the stone memorial Ebenezer. And it meant up until this time, the Lord has been our help. It's to remind us for all future generations that God has always been the help of His people. That's why David said, O soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in the Lord, for He shall yet be the health of thy countenance. Amen. You know what that meant? He's going to touch him. He's going to help him. He's going to pull him out of that miry clay that he'd gotten himself into, and he's going to set his feet upon a rock, and he's going to put a song in his heart. Can you say amen? And when it happens to David, others going through things are going to see that, and it's going to make them glad. It's going to give them courage. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So Memorial Day is something that was originally started to remember the sacrifices made. If we ever forget the sacrifices made, we will lose our appreciation for the freedoms we have. And the day we begin to lose appreciation and gratitude for the freedoms we have is the day that those freedoms come into great jeopardy. We take them for granted. And let me tell you something else. There are a lot of people that are not going to have a moment of silence before they tarry into the corn on the cob and the steak on the grill tomorrow. They're not going to remember those who shed their blood and the families who lost loved ones. They're not going to remember. But let me tell you something even worse. There are people today in church that are not going to remember what the cross as the eternal memorial to God's love and saving power and help. Amen. They're not going to remember the cross. There are churches that don't want to hear about the blood. They don't want to sing about the blood of Christ. And there are church leaders who literally are on record in saying, we don't need a bloody gospel. It's become a contemporary gospel, a gospel of social services and cultural agreements. And it's pulling away from what we should be remembering with everything we are and everything we have. Can you say amen? Listen, when I remember the cross and when I appreciate the cross, when it is a memorial, every time we receive communion, it's a memorial service. Every day of the Christian life ought to be a memorial day. Every day. Because if you remember what He's done on the cross for you, you can't just bellyache anymore. At the expense of praising and worshiping Him. You can't go around moping anymore. Telling people Christ is the answer and they look at us and say, for what? Amen. You know what you are? You're a living epistle. People can't miss you. The moment you begin to advertise Jesus, people look for something in you that they don't possess. They don't look for the same in us. If you're just like them, what value is there in knowing Him? But if knowing Him makes a difference, then they might want to know Him. If there's not a victory in the church of Jesus Christ, if there's not a revival based on the cross, not on evangelists and his gifts or his enthusiasm, but on the cross, amen. Restore unto me the joy of what? Your salvation. Your deliverance. Praise God. Where did our salvation occur? It occurred at the cross. And that's why the preaching of the cross is to the world foolishness. It means absolutely nothing to them. They don't have the revelation or the realization of what He did on that cross. But to every child of God, we should have both the revelation and the realization of what happened. And the cross should be. You say, Brother, where's the cross in here? I'm glad you asked. I just wanted to point it out to you. Can you say amen? The cross is the universal symbol for Christianity. Why? Because it's what Jesus did on the cross. And the cross is to remind us of what He did, why He did it, and what it has accomplished in your life and in mine. When John McCain was in the Hanoi Hilton, tortured, and in one of his books he talks about the ways that they were tortured, put in positions where their bones were dislocated and tied into that position so that they couldn't get away from the pain and the suffering. Living in the fear of death every day, drawing strength from God and from the Word of God that they shared back and forth with one another. Some of them wrote each other after that experience and asked, how many of those scriptures do you still remember that we shared with one another? Amen. While we were incarcerated. But in one particular instance, he was left alone with a guard that seemed different from the other guards because they were under armed guards. And he was standing with this one armed guard, and he was tied so tight after they tortured him. They tied him so tight that he couldn't, it was cutting off the circulation. And this guard, after the other guards have left, went behind him and loosened the tie to where the circulation could come into his hands. And then he walked beside him, and on the dirt and dust on the floor, he slipped off his sandal, and with his big toe, he made the sign of the cross on the ground. And when John McCain saw him make, and then quickly, lest he be discovered, he wiped it away. And what he was communicating was, I am conscripted to serve in this army. You are a prisoner of war in this army. But we are not enemies. We have a bond that goes beyond politics, ideologies, amen, and opposing armies. What is that bond? I'm a Christian. The cross. Can you say amen? The cross. The cross became the symbol. It's the universal symbol of Christianity. And the scripture said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that the wisdom of God, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching what? Just preaching in general? No, preaching one specific message that saves. The preaching of what? The cross. And the word preaching here is the Greek word, word. So it's the word of the cross. It's the same word that was used in 1 John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. So we find that Jesus Christ and the Word are inseparable. I'm going to tell you something today. The way you're receiving the Word right now determines just how much you honor Jesus. Because you can't separate the Holy Writ from the Holy Man. Amen? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Amen. There will never be a true revival. Why do you use the term true revival? Because there's been so many false revivals. Things that are called revival that are not similar to revival. There will never be a true revival in America until we begin to appreciate and celebrate salvation. Until every day is a memorial day. Not a national holiday, but a spiritual understanding that when I get up in the morning, nothing that happens tomorrow will cancel what He did for me at the cross. Can you say amen? Now, I'm going to tell you straight up. I'm grateful for the tables. I would be grateful if someone gave $500,000 for us to build right here on this property. That would be a great day. But if I celebrated that more than I celebrate what Jesus did at Calvary, something is very spiritually amiss in my life. Can you say amen? If God gave you a brand new home without a mortgage, some people say, look what the Lord gave me. And they're dead up to here. Can't even come to church because they got to work to pay for that sucker. Can't even give because they ain't got no money left after they pay for all the stuff they've bought. Can you say amen? And say, look what the Lord gave me. But if the Lord gave it to you, there's no... Lord made a way for you to get it. If you got good credit, you can just about buy anything. Can't pay for it, but you can buy it. Can you say amen? I got excellent credit. I can go in debt. Honey, I can go in debt. They'd like to get a hold, not because of my salary, it's my credit rating. I got real good credit. We've never missed a payment on anything. God has just blessed us to make payments. But I can't say God gave it to me until it's paid for. You understand what I'm saying? But if I rejoice, if someone gave me a new house, I said, you know, Brother Bimble, you've pastored for 41 years and you lived in a little house and you've lived within your means so you could preach and so the church could exist and so you could reach out. Amen. I want to buy you a brand new home. I'm going to tell you, I would be happy. Like I said in the early part of the service, if you're not happy over blessings, you don't deserve those blessings. I would be happy. God giveth all things richly to enjoy. Not to go around moping when he blesses us, but to rejoice. Can you say, man? I would rejoice. You said you'd rejoice over cement. And oh, yes, I would rejoice. If God gave me a house and it had no mortgage on it, we had to mortgage our house for me to quit work when I did to take care of my dad for 3.5 years. So we had to mortgage the house to make up for the salary that I wasn't getting anymore. Because I'm going to tell you something about Social Security. It ain't enough. It's not. No, it is not. And they don't want to give us a raise neither. It would help the economy. Give me something, I'll buy something. I'm a consumer. Hallelujah. Amen? Won't we buy something? We didn't get to go off on our anniversary. I was going to buy my wife a ring. It wouldn't be a big old ring, but it'd be a pretty good ring. It'd be a, you know, 51 years is worth a ring. She said, you know something, I'm not really a jewelry person. Said, I got some, I like it, but I'm not really a jewelry person. But boy, I saw a dryer and washer. It was a floor model that they had displayed, so it was discounted. And if I had that washer and that dryer, I thought, my Lord have mercy. Amen. I'm wanting to buy you a ring and you want a washer and dryer. But I said, listen, whatever you want, praise God. If it's within my power to get it for you, and we got the credit. We got enough credit. And everybody's smiling. We all know about credit. You know what credit is? It's to empower us to buy things we don't need necessarily with money we don't have. And that's it's really not a good thing in a way. But back when I didn't have tires on my car and I had a Western Auto Card account. You know something? I could still go to work when my tires were gone because I could go get me some on credit to get me to work and it helped me out. But there's limits to all this. What I'm saying is there will never be revival over gifts, over anointed evangelists, over even over great healing ministries. That will not produce a revival. A revival, listen, because when that preacher goes, guess what? When that preacher with those gifts goes, guess what happens in the church? Guess what happens? I know what happens. You can see it. We don't have to discuss it or debate it. Amen. The proof is in the pudding. What happens? Everything goes back to business as normal. Because business is normal and the status quo comes right back into play. But see, if we get a revival based on what he has done for us at the cross, and every single day of our life is a memorial day. Amen. You don't bring your trouble into the church. You bring your worship. You don't bring your problems. You bring your praise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You grow up in God. Amen. You begin to worship him for what he's done, not your immediate circumstance. Hallelujah. You bring your choice praises. Hallelujah. And if you don't bring it to him, then we're just going through the motions. You know who's holding back revival? Sin isn't. Sin is awful as it is in America and the nations in our generation. Sin can't stop God. where sin doth abound. Where sin is really dirty, awful, and prevalent, and prominent, and invasive, and pervasive. Where sin abounds. God's ready to move. God's ready to save. God's ready to deliver. Where sin doth abound, His grace does much more abound. It can't be sin then that holds back revival. And it sure can't be Satan. The devil is raging. The devil, of course he's raging. He knows he has. But a short time. It's now or never for him throughout all eternity. He's pulled out all the stops, doing everything that he can do. Amen. But he is limited. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking what? Everybody and anybody. No, whom he may, who he has permission and authority to destroy. I want you to know he does not have permission and authority over everybody. There are people that he cannot. Amen. He desired to have Peter that he may sift him as the wheat. But Jesus said, but I prayed for you. Hallelujah. Amen. I prayed for you. And it wasn't just for Peter. It was in the plural. He literally said, Peter, Satan wants to destroy you, but not just you, but all of my followers. But I have prayed for you in the plural, all, that your faith would not fail. Your faith to just overcome the devil. No, your faith in Jesus, who said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. Hallelujah. Amen. The cross of Jesus Christ is to make every single day in the life of Christian a memorial day. Remember when you first got saved and had the first love, and you remembered every time you woke up in the morning, when you got up and said, look what the Lord has done for me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All the things that are getting you down now did not get you down then. You know why? Because you got up celebrating your salvation. And the day you quit appreciating and celebrating being saved, that's the day that these other things begin to push their way between you and the cross and Christ Himself. And we lose our appreciation, just like tomorrow. A lot of people are going to dig in. They're going to have a holiday. Amen. They're going to drink a 12-pack, and they're going to eat a 2-pound steak, and they're going to eat their belly full of ribs, and they're not going to stop to thank anybody for the freedom for that, and the lives lost and the sacrifices made to give us these blessings. And when the Church of Jesus Christ loses her appreciation and her gratitude for the cross, and we let all this junk get us down, and we do not praise Him because we just don't feel like it. Well, I'm glad that He didn't come off of that cross, amen, when the pain was unbearable. I'm glad after 6 hours He didn't say, this is enough. I'm done with this, and I'm done with them. I don't have a tolerance for ingratitude, and neither does God. And neither does God. And neither does God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you and me. In everything, give thanks. You go to Psalm 50, there's a scripture everybody needs. I need it, you need it, we need it. It's the 15th verse of Psalm 50. And you know what it says? It says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Thou shalt glorify me. Now, if that's in a promise box out of context, that means you can just call upon Him and use your faith when your troubles come. And He's promised to come through. But that's not the context of Psalm 50. Psalm 50 is about religious offerings being made to God according to the prescription that He had given. Temple worship and sacrifices were occurring. But God wasn't coming through. He said, you're doing all these churchy things that are correct. But I'm looking past all that you're doing that is right. I'm not just looking at your religious activity. I'm looking at the attitude of your heart. What did the Bible say? Man looketh. Where does man look? Only place you can look, the outward appearance. That's why I love it when what's in me starts working out. And it shows. Somebody said, there's a happy man. There's a healthy man. There's a hopeful man. Not there's a hateful, despondent, discouraged man. Because nobody wants to catch that from me. They got a good case of it themselves. Amen. I want to see something else in me. I want my kids to see something else in me. My son expects his daddy, amen, to have faith in God. And it's not just because I preach, it's because I'm a Christian. It's my Christianity, not my preacher anointing, preacher appointing, my preaching duty. I'm supposed to say the right things. I'm preaching the message. But I want to embrace the message. I want the message to be part of me, ingrained in me. And God let me see it. He said, if the church doesn't get back to the cross and celebrate it, if it isn't a memorial that reminds them of what I've done for them, they're going to lose, amen, the victory. They're going to lose the very thing that can give them a revival in their life. That you can get your joy back at the foot of the cross, but you can't get it back by the laying on of hands. See, right now in many of our lives, things that are happening in our life transcends what he did at the cross already. The world gets us down, and the cross has no power to lift us up. I love the story of that little girl who, she's 7 years old. She got off at the wrong bus stop in a metropolitan area of a big city. She's just talking to another little girl and thought it was her stop, and she got off. And her daddy had told her, if you ever get lost, if you ever get off at the wrong stop, if you ever get to make the wrong turn, you get away from home. He took her out on the front steps of their house. There was a huge church. And up on the top of that church, there was a cross. And you could see it from blocks away because it was the tallest building in that suburban area of that city. A policeman saw her crying, walking down the road, bewildered, not knowing which way to go to get home. And he pulled up beside her and said, honey, are you lost? And she said, I got off at the wrong bus stop. She's crying. He said, honey, get in and I'll take you home. He started down the road and he was looking. He said, does anything look familiar to you? She wasn't looking at street signs or buildings. You know what she was looking at? She was looking up out the window, looking up, looking up. And when she saw that cross, she said, there, right there. She said, you live in that church? She said, no, but daddy told me. Amen. If you ever get lost, look for the cross. Amen. And when you come to the cross, you can find your way home because we live just right down the street. Can you say amen? She said, sir, you can let me off right here. Hallelujah, because I live right there. I'm going to tell you something, Christian. Amen. It's the cross that is going to bring you back to Christ. It's the cross that is to remind you of how much you are loved today. It is the cross, amen, where your faith is centered. It's the cross. If the church can get back to the cross and it's a symbol that points us to Christ, there will be a revival, amen, that will not be quenched by sin or by Satan. And it'll last until Jesus comes because the cross is eternal. We've cheapened the cross. The cross demands a separation. The cross demands a loyalty. Paul talked about the cross and what it represents. Amen. And he said, if I glory in anything. And he had all these gifts that he could have boasted in. But he said, if I glory, I will glory in this. I will glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Whereby I am crucified to the world. And the world is crucified to me. The cross is a sanctifying, separating element in our life. And if the church gets back to the cross, they're coming back to the Christ who died for them. And he's worth living for. He's worth taking up your cross and following. Can you say amen? The world will not win over you. When you come back to the cross, you can find your way home. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. By it, I am crucified to the world. Some of you give in to the world. You know, you can't live in, you can't suck on that old muddy water 6 days a week and come to church on Sunday and say, I wonder why I can't find or feel God. Well, you're full of muddy water. Everybody say muddy water. You're full of muddy water. What kind of music do you listen to all week long? What's been pumping into your brain and from your brain into your heart and your spirit? And then come to church and sing a verse of Amazing Grace and it's going to blow all that away? No! It's there! There's more of it than there is of God and good. But the cross will separate you. You're reminded when you hear the music blaring out of the bar. I don't belong in there. Something has happened to me. There's something in my life. There's someone in my life. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. Hallelujah. You say, Brother, but it draws me. Well, listen, when you get close to the cross, Christ will draw you. God will draw you. Amen. Woo! He said, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in this memorial to all that the Christian gospel is, all that he has done in me, for me, and is doing through me. If I'm going to glory, I glory in the cross. Whereby I am what? I'm crucified with him to the world. And the world is crucified to me. They'll never get me. And I will never fit in with them. Can you say, man, they won't get it. I turned down a dozen opportunities for more money when I was bivocational for 12 years. Never missed a service. Preached, went out the door, went to work, and pulled an 8-hour shift in production. I was right here on duty. When somebody had a funeral, we scheduled it before I went to work. 2 to 10:30 was my time. I had opportunity to go to day shift. I didn't, because I wanted to be available in the morning to go to the hospital, and that's where I was when people were in the hospital. God gave me the grace. God helped me. Amen. He's a gracious and he's a good God. But they ask a man that I worked with that was a deacon, one of the large churches in Plant City, a large black church, by the way, on Ball Street. And they ask him, they said, why won't Rev, they knew I was a minister, why won't Rev accept this position? Why does he do that? He could be making, you know, $15,000 more dollars a year. How many would it help you if someone gave you $15,000 more dollars a year? Only about five people. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Come on, this is not carnality. This is just recognized reality. Can you say amen? There's a difference between carnality, going after material things, and knowing I could pay a lot of bills with $15,000 more. I could get rid of the clunker. Give me a car that I don't have to jump off. God could, you know. So why don't he? They didn't get it. Oh, I know she's smiling, Cherie. Lord have mercy. Say, give me $15,000 more a year, I'll give me a new truck. Give me a V8. Give me a V10 if they made it. Speed demon, not demon in the biblical sense. Just, you know, just telling everybody else with their truck, I gotta run your truck. What a materialistic world. They don't get it. They're crucified to me. They'll never get it until they come to Jesus. And half the people that come to Jesus don't get it yet. And they need to get it. Cross will separate you. Crucify you. Glory to God. Make you know, I don't belong in there, and they don't believe in it, don't belong in here unless they're coming to receive Jesus. They don't get it. They'll never get me. I'm a misfit. I won't fit in. I'm not supposed to fit in. I got a different king. This is a different kingdom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Why won't he accept that raise? Why won't he take that position? You know what this guy told him? He told me that he told them. He said, I told them, and this is about the fourth time they had asked. They went on to ask eight more times, amen, to other people and me and him. And he said, because he has a different value system. They could not understand. Go to church if you want to, but don't give up no money to go to church. Go to church if you must, but don't give up no raise or no better circumstance. And you know what they told me to try to shame me? They said, don't you love your family and want the best for them? I said, that's exactly why that I put my ministry and my worship of my God before all the stuff I could buy them. This is more important than the stuff. Thank you for the hearty. It's more important, Brother Taylor. And you know what the good news is? If you put God first, He will take care of the stuff. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not for your flesh, but it's righteousness. It's peace. And it's... Come on, I know it's hard pill to take, but it's joy in the Holy Ghost. You can't buy joy at the car dealership. I had a Buick that had 135,000 miles on. The electric windows had quit working. Transmission was slipping. But that sucker crank up and take me where I need to go. Out on 301, I pulled into a service station behind a brand new Cadillac. And there was a man sitting there with his mother-in-law, with his two children, and his wife in the hot summer. And it was hot. He was sitting at the gas pump. And he came back, and I pulled in behind him, getting gas in my car. And he said, I'm embarrassed to ask you this, sir, but my car won't start. Could you help me push it out of the way until a wrecker can come? And I said, sure, I'll be glad to. I'm feeling kind of good then. You got a new Cadillac, I got an old Buick with a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got the joy of Jesus, whether my car starts or not. But boy, he didn't have no joy. Because I'm going to tell you, he said, I don't know if he's a doctor, lawyer, or an Indian chief. But he said, you know, I paid cash. I went to the showroom of the Cadillac dealership, picked out the one I wanted with everything that I wanted on it, and I walked away and I paid cash for this Cadillac. And I've had it for 2 weeks. First week I had it, I got it home, wanted to go to work the next morning, and it wouldn't crank. They took it in. They said it is an electrical problem. They kept it 3 days and said, we have solved the electrical problem. He said, so I got my whole family in it today. Said, we're going for a drive this afternoon. I stop here to get gas. Guess what? It won't crank. I said, would it help if I jumped you? He said, it won't jump start. It won't crank. Nothing you do will crank it. Something is wrong and they can't find it. And he was all, and I was sitting back there saying, thank you, Jesus. 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 He got the Cadillac. I got the old Buick. I got the joy. He doesn't have it. I got the peace. Amen. And my old car going to crank up and take me to church tomorrow. I'm going to worship God with my old Buick. Just like I would worship him with the new Cadillac. Praise God. Can you say amen? Ain't going to change my worship. Amen. If I'm greatly blessed materially, I'm going to worship him and thank him for it. If I'm not that blessed, I'm going to worship him and thank him for the cross. And thank him for what he did on the cross. The cross is going to determine, amen, the velocity of my praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because we don't know what's going to happen day by day. It's going to be some good and some bad, but the cross stands eternal. If there's not a revival based on what he did at the cross for us, there's a revival, and right now it's not a revival. It's just tens of thousands of people going to hear a materialistic message that God just lives to give you stuff. And if they don't get the stuff, they would walk away from him just like Judas did. You know what Judas did? He followed Jesus for the wrong reason. He followed Jesus because he thought, like the Jewish zealots thought, that Jesus is going to raise up an army, bring a revolution, push Rome out of Jerusalem, and he's going to be elected as a king in Jerusalem. That kind of political king of the Jews, not spiritual king yet. And when he does, guess who's going to be in his cabinet? Guess who's going to be very close to the king? Judas Iscariot. He followed him with that in mind, that wrong motive for following Jesus. And if you're in it for the car and the wealth and the fame, you're not in it for the cross. And because of the cross and as a result of the cross. You don't have to love Jesus, amen, to follow him for a bigger house, a bigger bank account, and a bigger car. You don't have to love Jesus. Oh, by the way, you remember who was it? This lady that married this old dude. I have to be careful with calling people old dudes because I'm becoming one. Knuckle bum. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, you remember her. She married this old geezer. But he's got the moolah, man. He's got the money. But she's got to marry him because she knows he's got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel. And so she marries the old geezer. But he knows, she knows, and anybody with the sense God gave a billy goat knows. What is that beautiful woman doing with that little old geezer about ready to conk out? She knew it's for the money. He knows it's for the money, but he don't care. Hey, that's right, pleasure for a season. Yes, that's right. So everybody knows. It's almost like it's a joke. Because everybody knows if he didn't have the money, she wouldn't be winking all at him. Saying, oh, baby. And he wouldn't be putting on Barry White. Amen. Having this beautiful blonde come up to him. You know about Barry White. I know you know about Barry White. I don't know. It's just a whole other thing. You know about Barry White. These young people, they don't know nothing about no Barry White. Yeah, they put on somebody we'd never heard of. But anyway, going to have a romantic evening, put on. I don't know who. It's okay. I'm in another zone right now. Who wouldn't follow Jesus for what they're offering today? Come and get wealthy. Come and never have a pain. Come and have your children all be college graduates, become doctors and lawyers. Come and have a house like mine. Who wouldn't follow Jesus for that? Judas found out it wasn't going to be that way. He followed him for 3 years. And he followed him for the stuff and for the fame. And when they saw them take, when Jesus said, I must be given into the hands of men. Even Peter didn't understand the kingdom yet. He didn't understand the kingdom. He didn't have his values shifted that much yet. Yes, he'd left his nets. He was going to fish for men, but he didn't understand the kingdom yet. God's kingdom is different. It's a rebuke to everything this fallen world holds in such high esteem. Can you say amen? Oh, if this message today would have Jesus born in palaces of gold. They would have him ride into Jerusalem on white thoroughbreds, pulling a golden chariot. But everything he did rebuked what the world put on the top shelf. In fact, Satan showed him the kingdoms of this world, those passing, transient things that are going to pass. When you draw your last breath, it's all gone. Can you say amen? And it's gone forever. Amen. He showed him the kingdoms of this world. And let me tell you something about the devil. He said, if you'll worship me, it's in my power to give you the kingdoms of this world. I rule this world. this greed-driven world. And it's all right to enjoy the things that God gives you, but not at the expense, saying, if I don't get that, I won't be happy. If I can't have this, I won't be happy. If I don't get this, I won't be happy. And the cross stands and says, what about what I did for you? It's supposed to be a memorial. It's supposed to have us say, this has been a rotten day, and everything that could go wrong went wrong. But Jesus died for me, and I'm reciprocating love for him. And I have reserved my choice praises for him. And I'm going to worship him and thank him. And I'm going to show him gratitude, Brother Taylor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring a sacrifice of praise. Offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips unto God. How consistently? Continually. That's the New Testament. The Old Testament said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continual. And David didn't even have the cross to motivate him. We do. We just can't seem to get it. So people run here for their healing. We run there for a word from the Lord. Guy come in here one time, sat in our service. I went out to eat, and he come in that building. He thought it was God putting us together. He came up to our table, and he said, God has given me the gift of interpreting dream. And I will interpret every dream of anybody and tell them what the Lord is saying to them. I told him, I said, every dream from everybody is not the Lord, number one. I read the Bible cover to cover. There's no gift of interpreting dreams. Oh, thank you for the hearty. It's in Bible. Everybody say Bible. Oh, but this person is so deep. Honey, if it ain't biblical, I don't want to hear about no deep or no nothing else. Amen. You got to talk scripture to me or don't even talk to me. Well, God showed me. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I don't know you, and you don't know if it's God or not until you put it to the test. And the real test is the Word of God. If it don't line up with the Word of God, it's not God. Boy, he got mad. He wanted to come in here and have everybody come down. What did you dream last night? I dreamed that I was flying like a bird above the heavens. Yes, 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 you're going to soar like an eagle, spirit. Oh, you can just go on and on and on. You might as well to go out here to the palm reader. We don't come to God like, come on, we don't come to God to play these games. Can you say? Amen? He don't play that stuff. Yeah, too much pizza. Yeah, that's the interpretation of that dream. Yeah, you just ate one enchilada too many and put too much hot sauce on it. Can you say amen? Now go home and read the Bible. Get on your face before God so he can talk to you. Straighten you out. Can you say amen? Oh, but we'd rather have someone say, and they're out there, and they're preying on immature Christians that have no discernment. Not the gift of discerning of spirits, but discernment in general. Strong meat belongs to those that are full age, that by reason of the exercise of their senses are able to discern good and evil, even when evil dresses up as good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Full age? Who gets to this point? How do you get to this point? Is it how many services you've had hands laid? How many times you've fallen out? Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. It says you become filled with the knowledge you have of God and the things of God and the ways of God because of the Scriptures that reveal God to you. You begin to grow up in God. Hallelujah. And when you do, you ain't easily fooled no more. You get that letter in the mail, you read it and say, that don't line up with the Word. That's not what God says. Where did that come from? And you wad it up and you throw it away instead of putting $50 in it hoping to get $5,000 next month. might even get peace in your life. Great peace have they who love thy law, who embrace it. W.C. Fields laying in the hospital. He knows his end is near. A friend of his came to visit him. Said, W.C., you're reading a Bible? He was reading the Bible. He said, what are you doing reading the Bible? He said, looking for loopholes. No, that was his humor. He wasn't reading the Bible looking for loopholes. He was reading the Bible looking for something in the face of death to give him hope and security of where he's going to go after he draws his last breath. When Dwight D. Eisenhower was dying, Billy Graham, he requests Billy Graham come to see him. Billy Graham came and walked into his room, and Billy told this story. He said, Dwight said, Billy, read to me from the book. And there was books that people had sent him because he'd been hospitalized all over the room. He said, what book? He pointed to the Bible, and he said, there's only one. Can you say, man, when you get down there, there's only one book that matters, and it's the one that says that a man came, amen, from heaven, hallelujah, who was God incarnate, and he loved this world enough, God, to send that man, his only begotten son, and that man went and hung on a cross, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish eternally, but have eternal life. That's the book. That's the message. Can you say, man, that's the gospel. That's the source of joy, peace, hope, and faith. If you're serving God for the stuff, Judas did that. Here was Judas's attitude. I followed Jesus for 3 years of my life. I could have been making investments. I have done without a relationship with a woman. I have done without so many things to follow him in hopes of becoming rich and great politically and materially. And he's talking about, he's not going to lead a revolution. He's going to be given over to those that want to kill him. I want something in my hand that I can hold for my trouble and my time. I want something. I don't want to see. He didn't appreciate the kingdom of God. He didn't even see. He's, you know, unless you become as a little child, you humble yourself, you can't see the kingdom of God. That's why they didn't get it with me. Why don't he take the raise? Why don't he work on Sunday? Don't you love your family? Look what all you could give them. There are people today out of church because they can't get the kingdom in view. They think they can't make it without the money that job gives them. They think God can't handle it. I didn't get no big house on the golf course, but I got a house that don't leak. It's air conditioned. I have been to Haiti and Jamaica. I appreciate an air conditioned house. I got a bed I can sleep on. We can afford to have the cucarachas sprayed. Ain't no roaches crawling on me at night. Brother Taylor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I got a 4-cylinder car. My wife has it. I get to drive it when I'm chauffeuring her around. Amen. It's a 2012. They gave me $10,000 trade-in on my old Buick that was just about wore out and out of warranty. I enjoy driving it. It gets 33 miles to gallon, and there's plenty of room. You rode with me in dinner, amen, handing out things, and that's a nice little vehicle. It is not even little, and it's got plenty of pep. It'll go like I like to go, and I like to go. Yeah, I know. Don't y'all take after me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow me down the interstate. Can you say amen? Somebody told me the angels after 70 and you start breaking the law, they just back off. And I said, oh, Lord, don't tell me that. I need them even more when I'm doing 80 anyway. God has been good. God has been. Everybody know the roads around here? There's 301, Highway 92 runs parallel to the interstate. Years ago, I grew up before the interstate was built. That's taking me way back. There was no interstate. The main artery was Highway 92. Highway Patrol told this for true. It's not against women. A man could have made the mistake, I guess. But anyway, happened to be a woman that was driving. And she was doing over 90 miles an hour out on that two-lane Highway 92, and Highway Patrol pulled her over and said, "Ma'am, do you know why I've stopped you?" Because she was headed for Tampa on Highway 92. He said, "Ma'am, do you know why I stopped you?" And she said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "Well, I stopped you because you're in a 60-mile-an-hour zone, and you were doing over 90. She said, "Well, officer, the sign said 92. He said, "Ma'am, I'm sure glad I caught you before you got to 301. Just happened to be a woman. I don't know what that's all about. It just happened. It could have been a man. Probably not, but it could have been. You heard about the driver. You heard about the guy. Remember when they had stick shift transmissions? Yeah, on the column. Guy had automatic transmission. His car wouldn't start. He said, "I need to push. Automatic transmission." Lady said, "Can I help?" He said, "Yeah, I need to push." So he thought she was going to ease up and just, you know, start slowly accelerating. Said, "I need a push." She said, "Okay, how can I do that? I've never given anybody a push before." He said, "Well," he said, "I need to get this car up to about 30 miles an hour. It's got automatic transmission." He said, "You need to get up to about 30 miles an hour." She said, "Okay." You look at your rearview mirror and she's backing up. Oh, yes. You know the rest of the story. "You've got to get it up to 30. No, not. You know what I mean. It's after we touch bumpers and get going. It's not come at me at 30 miles an hour. Boom. He told me. Was she blonde? That woman right there going to slap you after church. And that woman going to slap you too. And somebody with black hair is going to slap you because underneath they're really blonde. Can you say amen? You know why I'm saying all of this? What we're doing? Because right now, we understand the pressure that is on us. If we don't find that joy, if we don't achieve that peace, if a revival doesn't come to America because of the cross, if Christians, it is not the devil, it is not sin, it is not the culture, it is not the godless of this world, it is not the atheist of this world, it is not the politicians, it is not the government holding back revival, it's Christians. He said, "You don't only bring the right sacrifices in Psalm 50, but you bring the right attitude. Offer." See, he didn't say quit offering the sacrifices, but bring something in attitude with it and worship. Offer. You know what he said about the sacrifices that he prescribed in Psalm 50? "If I were hungry, if you thought you were meeting a need in me, I wouldn't tell you. If you think that I'm hungry, that's why these oxen and these sheep and these burnt offerings are being offered. If you think I have a need," he said, "if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you." He said, "I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. But he said, "Here's what I'm looking for before any of these other offerings can be accepted. Offer unto the Lord thanksgiving." And then what happened? Not before, but after. "And then call on me in the time of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." Can you say, man, it's a win-win? Everybody say it's a win-win. We get the help we need, and God gets the glory for giving it. Hallelujah. It's a win-win. But he said, don't just go to church. Don't just sing the song. Don't just go along. Amen. Bring a real heart of gratitude. Thank the Lord for what he's done. Get excited about what he's done. Return to your first love. Your sweetheart love. The love that made you want to be in his house more than anywhere in the world. You didn't want to miss worship. You didn't want to miss an opportunity to praise his name. In fact, the mention of his name. You remember sweetheart love, how silly it seemed? P.P., Pamela Parker, plus R.V. I didn't get it tattooed, you know. We weren't married yet, and anything can happen. But anyway, boys, a lot of people go back to the tattoo parlor. Speaking of tattoos, when you get right with God, you just want to be right all over. Guy in our church got right with God. He got thoroughly right with God. He had a picture of a naked woman on his arm. He said, Brother Venable, I've been praying for God to take this naked woman off my arm. Amen. I said, well, I'll agree with you. I mean, God could do that. But you know, it went on about 6 weeks, and he couldn't roll his sleeves up. In the summer, he had a naked woman on his arm. He's a Christian. He didn't want to go around with no naked woman on his arm. Amen. So he said, Brother Venable, said, I was praying the other day. Said, I believe the Lord spoke to me. He said, I believe the Lord told me to go back to the tattoo parlor one more time. And I said, Lord. He said, this is a word of wisdom, isn't it? He said, yes. He said, all right. He said, Brother Venable, I went back to the tattoo parlor. He said, I rolled up my sleeve, and I told that guy, I said, I want you to put a dress on this woman. Everybody say, sanctify. Come on. God will sanctify you. He said, I want a dress on this here woman. And he said, he told him, he said, I don't want no mini dress neither. I want dress come all the way down the knees with no cleavage. Everybody say, no cleavage. Come on, he got sanctified. He wanted to be right with God. Amen. The old has passed away and everything has become new. Hallelujah. Revival, Brother Taylor. When people say, I'm making a full-blown, all-out commitment to Christ, I'm going to praise him for what he's done for me. I'm not going to wait and see what happens in my life. Preaching of the cross to them that perish are foolishness. The word of the cross is foolishness. But unto everyone who is truly saved, it represents the very power of God that saved us and to save us. Can you say amen? When I see the cross, I don't see me. You don't hear me. When I see the cross, I don't see me. And my trouble and my problems, I see him and his suffering and his sacrifice in my behalf. And I can't help, Sister Ruth, but praise him. You don't have to pull it out of me, shame me into it, or pump it out of me. Amen. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of our Lord, the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. The ruins of a castle that overlooked the village enclosing of Dürnstein, Austria. It's the Krüringer Castle. It was destroyed in 1645, but no one calls the castle by that name. Everyone calls it the Richard the Lionhearted Castle because he was held prisoner there in 1192. The castle is not remembered for its owner, but for its prisoner. And so it is with the cross. It's not the cross, it's the Christ who died on it. But the cross is a reminder of the Christ. It's a memorial. So every day that we put the cross in the forefront, amen, Christ is taking the center part of our life. And we quit complaining, questioning God, doubting, holding back our praises. We bring the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, to the house of our God. And we don't quit praising when we leave here. Can you, in everything, give what? Give thanks. For what it, Say, brother, I don't know the will of God. Well, why don't you see, it don't matter what it is until the things that you know is His will, till you start being trained enough and disciplined enough and devoted enough to do what you know to do. I don't expect God to tell you anything else. He told you to give thanks and said, this is my will for you, then give thanks. Start doing something in obedience. And maybe you'll really hear Him the next time He speaks to you by His Spirit. But you can't be led by the clear black and white Word of God. Forget being led by the Spirit of God. You won't even do what it says to do there. Why should He tell you anything else? I just wish I could know what God wants for my life. Well, start doing what you know He wants for it first. You're not going to do that. He ain't going to talk to you. Why should He talk to you? You won't listen. He don't talk to people that don't listen. If you don't believe it, Israel quit listening. There was 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years. There was no prophet prophesying, no priest saying anything, no word from the Lord. There was a famine, and it wasn't for water or bread. It was for hearing the Word of God. If you're not going to do it, why in the world would you come to church and listen to a preacher tell you what it says? If you ain't going to do it, why should God say anything to you? Amen? Brother Taylor, people stand in line till 1 o'clock in the morning. Get prophesied over. Won't sit for 1 hour and be taught the Word of God. They want to bypass obedience, bypass what the Scriptures say, and have somebody just tell them, the Lord has shown me everything's going to be fine with you. Guy writes you the letter, will never tell you you're in for a whooping. You notice that? Nobody ever gets a letter from Noah Vanzant saying, you know, you are really messed up and God going to whoop you. And yet the Bible said, He chastens every son that He receives, scourges everyone, and faint not when thou art chastened of Him. If you're without chastisement, you're a bastard, not a son. You do not belong to Jesus Christ. That'll never be in the letter. God will never tell him to straighten you out because He wants your money, and you ain't going to give Him money for telling you to get right. But I'm not after your money. I'm after your soul for Christ, and I'm after your heart for God. Can you say, man, so I can look you in the eye and say, let's get right with God so God can help you. Let's get right with God so God can bless you. Let's get right with God so God can keep what you've committed unto Him. Let's get right with God so He can deliver you and glorify His name when He does it. Praise God. Is it all right with you that I tell you the truth on Sunday morning? Praise God. Don't merchandise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's time to stop, and I just feel the Lord here today. Glory to God. How many people want to develop because of the cross? You want to keep the cross in view, and you want to develop an attitude of gratitude that is consistent in your life. How many will accept that challenge today? You want to say, thank you, Jesus. You want to get up in the morning, don't say, good Lord, morning. Say, good morning, Lord. Can you say, man? You want something to change in your life. Whoso offereth praise, Psalm 50, the last verse. This kind of praise that is based on true thanksgiving in the heart. Whoso offereth that kind of praise glorifieth me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, to him I will show the salvation of my God. He said, I'm going to come through for you. I'm going to deliver you. You're going to see my hand at work and my handiwork. Praise God. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you. And you will glorify me. Praise God. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to hear the joyful sound in God's church instead of all the complaining, all the depression, all the doubt? None. Wouldn't it be great to hear praise and worship and adoration and testimony? Hallelujah. And wouldn't it? I keep hearing it from right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what that means? Praise ye Jah. Alleluia. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I preach myself into an altar many times. Don't think that I'm up here on the pinnacle looking down at you poor struggling people. No, I'm on no pinnacle. Amen. I'm climbing just like you are. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Hallelujah. But we're on our way home. Hallelujah. And God is going before us, and there's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. I will never concede that there is not victory in Jesus. Praise God. If you haven't tried Thanksgiving, I would encourage you to make every day a memorial day. The cross is to remind you of a reason to thank God no matter what else is going on. In everything, in every circumstance, He's died for me. He shed His blood for me. He saved me from a devil's hell. Hallelujah. I've got something to praise God for today. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, and there be no fruit upon the vine, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can you say amen? And you know what? It changes me. Hallelujah. And He will make, because I praise Him in every circumstance, He will make my feet like hinds' feet. I will be sure-footed upon those high places, those steep places. I will not be slipping and sliding back. I will be sure-footed. Praise God. And I'll keep making progress in spite of the steepness of the grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's give Him thanks. Let's stand and give Him thanks today. I feel like an old camp meeting. Anointing's in this place. Some of you need to get right with God, get your peace back. Some of you need to get right with God, get your joy back. Some of you need to get right with God and get your praise back. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. My wife is going under for a procedure. They make you fill out things when they put you under for procedures just in case you croak. You can't sue them. And when you fill that out, you're kind of reminded, you know, if I don't wake up. She said, honey, she said, I want you to know that if I didn't wake up, that I have loved living with you for these 51 years. We lived in some difficult places and times that we had some struggles early on. I'm talking about when we just barely made ends meet. We eat a bowl of soup and that Kool-Aid that you pour out and put some sugar in, and we called it supper. It wasn't supper, but we called it supper, and we ate that soup and crackers and drank that Kool-Aid and said, that's it. Amen. But God was good. He, even back then, before we came to Christ as our Savior, He was good. He was good, and He was merciful, and He helped us through those tough times. And she said, honey, she said, you know, she said, I appreciate your faith in God and your walk with God. She said, I'm so proud of you, not for preaching, pastoring. She said, I'm so proud of you for your walk with God. And that meant so much. That was my anniversary present. She lives with me day in, day out. She sees me when I hurt and when I'm down, and she sees what I do about it. And she said, I appreciate your walk with God. Hallelujah. And I want to keep that walk with God. Amen. I was at a four-way stop sign, and I saw the guy that's the head of All Pro Pastors with his wife headed out somewhere, you know, kind of all dolled up. And so we were at a four-way stop sign. I thought of dinner. Amen. I don't know why I thought of dinner, and if I'd seen her, what I would usually do, and some of you after church. Amen. I pulled out from the four-way and waved to him not to move, and I rolled down my window, and he rolled down his window, and he looked out the window, and he said, the man of God. And I appreciated that. So I said back to him, excuse me, do you have any Grey Poupon? You don't remember that commercial, do you? It's a special mustard for uppity-up people. Well, you see, a lot of men of God don't have any joy. A lot of men of God don't have any life. They just walk around in this No, no. I believe Jesus was a man of joy. And my heart was so filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. Just got a, yeah, Grey Poupon. That's good. Keep it up. Keep the smile. We got a smile up in here. Can you say amen? Maybe we can get it catch. Yeah, look. He said, come on, smile up in here. Somebody got to have some victory sometime somewhere in the church. Hallelujah. We got to have a smile up in here. He said, I need that smile. Praise God. Somebody needs your joy today. Your peace. Your hope. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give him praise in this song. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed preaching to you today. I know I got on a few toes. Mine are a little sore myself. Holy Spirit got on mine. I said, you don't do that all the time. You don't do that all the time. I said, you're right, but I want to do better.
Says it's a good thing to
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give him praise today.